localwebradio.fm. Your trusted voices on the Semiahmoo Peninsula.
Are you dealing with a health issue you would love to resolve? Would you like to restore yourself to be healthier and more invigorated? There is help. Welcome to the Natural Therapy Show with Dr. Tim Brown, architect and creator of Ocean Park Natural Therapies. Now, here's your host.
Hi, Eva Marion Child here, and yes, I am your host. I am here with Dr. Tim Brown, chiropractor and ND, owner of Ocean Park Natural Therapies and creator of Solving Your Health Puzzle with Integrated Medicine. Now, before Dr. Brown joins us, just a reminder that if you in the audience have questions or require assistance, you can reach his office at 604-538-3017 or visit the staff online at www.oceanparkhealth.com. Today, Dr. Brown will be discussing why he practices a protocol he very much espouses, autonomic response testing, or ART for short, of individualized integrated medicine. Dr. Brown, welcome again to the call.
Good morning, and hello to all listeners.
Yes, and they're quite familiar with your voice now. Dr. Brown, could you talk a little bit more about what you mean by the art of individualized medicine?
Yes. I'm going to first say that individualized medicine is the opposite of cookie cutter medicine, where a person receives one diagnosis and there's a treatment that follows according to the book. And that's essentially how it's done. Individualized medicine has to take into account the individual and all the things that we've been talking about in all our previous sessions, but it especially has to take into account things from the last session, which is the person's virtual world, their internal processing, the self-image, and how the everything is working relatively. So ART is also an acronym for Autonomic Response Testing. And it's a real-time feedback of the reactions through the human autonomic nervous system. And it assesses the organism's reaction to stressors, either towards or away from. And it helps in our functioning to guide a process of finding things like pain generators, unbalanced or stuck physiological pathways, and it also helps us identify what's needed to correct these pathways. Just as we've talked about earlier, it could be there's a toxicity and something needs to be removed from the system. It could be a deficiency and something needs to be added put into the system. It could be structural interference, or it could be those programming conflicts and errors that we've also talked about. So the principle is that everything important to the body's function is about timing, sequencing, and resonance or affinity. This creates meaning and it creates responses. And autonomic response testing is all about assessing your timing, sequencing, resonance, affinity, or not, meaning not affinity, of your body reactions and functions.
It does sound a bit like biofeedback.
It is. It's it's biofeedback without all the wires and gadgetry hooked up.
Oh, streamlined.
Yes.
What are the origins of this ART, sir?
Well, if we look back at it, it probably has been used for hundreds of years in cultures like traditional Chinese acupuncture, East Indian Ayurvedic traditions, and South American, European, and Native American traditions. But the sophistication has come about over the last 50 to 60 years, and that we've tied this into being able to monitor it also with electronics and computer systems, because they're fine enough calibration and fast enough now that we could do that. But my personal experience was I was exposed to and learned this autonomic response testing, first of all, in my chiropractic background. I was trained by Alan Beardall in applied kinesiology. Mm-hmm. And Alan created a biocomputer model and a specific muscle testing from, he took it from 64 muscle tests to over 220 tests to isolate various functions of the body. And applied kinesiology was also founded essentially by George Goodhart from Detroit. And he was the first chiropractor to work with the U.S. Olympic team. And many of the applied kinesiologists have, you know, gone on to work in sports with sports teams and athletes and things, because it's so dynamic that the athletes really are attracted to it.
Mm. Yeah.
And then there's another branch called applied physiology, which an engineer by the name of Richard Ott gathered these different techniques together, and he correlated them with acupuncture system. And this became quite well known in Australia. And through various means, I learned about an Australian-American by the name of Charles Krebs, who was a PhD scientist, who whose own story is fascinating and amazing. But he was a highly functional scientist and was sort of ambidextrous and could do anything, and one of these gifted individuals. And he was diving in Australia and ended up with a nitrogen bubble in his brainstem. Mm. And when they tried to come up, he'd go into convulsions and things. So they put him in a pressure chamber and kept him in the pressure chamber in the water for a number of weeks before the nitrogen bubble basically cleared up enough. And when he came to, and they had brought him to the surface, he was in a hospital, paralyzed. So it's a huge change and a huge shock to his system. But what happened with him is that he found out about this applied physiology and kinesiology. And being a scientist, he had treatments, and he said the outcome was undeniable. It improved my functioning more than all the other things that I had tried medically. But he said the explanations made no sense to my scientific mind. So he went about correlating the science with the process. And tying in the principles of acupuncture and things. Mm. And Charles was a prolific individual in that he has written and taught in Australia. He developed a school of kinesiology there. He's been to Germany, England, and he's now in the eastern U.S. in the Boston area, developing foundations and networking. He's trained hundreds of doctors in these different techniques.
Mm, he's recovered.
Well, he's partially recovered in that he can walk, and he's very functional, and he's a brilliant lecturer and teacher, but he has to overcome certain disabilities. I've watched him if he goes down a ramp when he's walking or something. Mm-hmm. If it gets him going too fast, he can trip and fall because his, you know, legs, timing and sequencing is a bit of an issue. And he suffers, but you wouldn't know it on the outside.
Good and, for him.
Yeah. Now, another major teacher in this area who teaches in Germany, in the eastern and western parts of the U.S., and has a major influence in my life as well, is Dietrich Klinghardt, an MD. And he has put together different aspects of the autonomic response testing and the neurophysiology modeling that is behind it. And he has courses and workshops that he teaches to doctors and interesting things for laypersons to also learn. So his on the web under, I think it's the Klinghardt Academy. That's Klinghardt Academy. They basically have DVDs and a lot of information on workshops and things that that are interesting. And sometimes they seem kind of far out for where a lot of people are at, but it's all about treating people with chronic conditions and difficult things that medicine has very little answers for.
I can attest physically, and I know many people who can, to applied kinesiology as well as acupressure, which is another very, very useful protocol.
Yes. So all of these things, in my mind, tie around the functioning of the nervous system and using it as a template for both testing for assessment and also for assessing how well treatments are working. And, you know, some of the pain concepts and things, I just attended a an advanced workshop in what's called NPT or neuroprolotherapy or neural pain treatment. And it's fascinating what we're learning about the nervous system and nerves and how we can use simple, sometimes small injections of dextrose to heal nerves that are dysfunctioning.
Sugar? Ugh. In your nerves? Wow.
Yeah, small amounts. It's almost like homeopathic principle.
Yeah, homeopathic principle. Exactly. Right. Interesting.
Physiological small amounts.
And what about the rest of the world, like Australia, Europe, England, France?
Well, that's where all of these things come from, all around. And what's happening now is that the information is being shared via internet and various things. So we now have groups. There's a Dr. Omura in the U.S. and Japan. There's a Korean aspects. I've been to workshops and seminars in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and all over in South America and different places, all of these techniques are now coming together in terms of they're starting to integrate so that we have access to them. And they're not so crazy and far out to try to understand.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing quack-like about them, huh?
Well,
that's the word.
Yeah, we're it's considered quackery, but it's mostly by people who haven't shifted their paradigm.
Right.
And the paradigm shift is coming from what we call a Newtonian physics to Einstein physics, which is the newer model that we need to work on, the energy and relativity and things like that, and not just quantum mechanics or mechanical things, which is Newton's physics.
Mm-hmm. And how, again, is ART utilized in your clinical practice?
So ART helps to assess and find treatment solutions for a variety of conditions, which we've discussed in previous podcasts. But for instance, structurally, I can go in and check shoulder, joint functions, knee, hip, or spinal conditions very quickly and very accurately with ART methods. I can also check organ functions, nutrient and endocrine pathways for both monitoring and confirming imbalances or deficiencies. In brain and neurological function, we can challenge the brain pathways, for instance, with your eyes open versus eyes closed. If we get different responses, then we know that the system is responding to a different information. Mm-hmm. There's a what we call a switching mechanism there. And we can assess for things like heavy metal toxicity, viral loading, parasites, fungal and mold issues, allergies, and sensitivities to foods, chemicals, or drugs. And we can confirm these things if we do lab tests and things. But so we can see kind of where we're at. But it's costly on an ongoing basis to keep doing repeat lab work just to see where you're at. And it takes maybe three minutes or less in the clinical setting to assess these things and see if a person is getting less reactive and better response to any of these areas.
Wow, much more advanced. Terrific. Can you elaborate on how this system helps you assess and diagnose a little more?
Yes. So for instance, with structural problems such as joint problems in your back, neck, or extremities, this technique we developed, you know, from my chiropractic background, and I can assess your joint function, pain generators, what type of tissue injuries are going on. And more importantly, if a treatment is successful in restoring function, we often get that change right in the visit, and we can demonstrate a before and an after that the person was often amazed, and they go, wow, you know, that doesn't hurt anymore, or I can feel the strength has come back.
Yeah.
So the patients constantly remark at the skill of how quickly we can find these things. And this is a skill that, you know, structurally gives me advantage over someone who has to rely on x-rays or other methods that are not dynamic. And in another instance, I can find problems with deficiencies, hormone imbalances, neurotransmitters disrupted, so the person's communication system isn't working properly. And we have special tests that we've developed to specifically identify deficiencies in the use of vitamins, minerals, essential fatty acids, and all of the different hormones that we've previously talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So regarding toxicity, if there's too much of something in the system, we can identify that quickly because the system reacts adversely, and then we can determine what corrects these very quickly, and we can put people on programs that over time remove the excesses from the system so they function better.
So for some, it probably doesn't, though, work. Does it work in every situation or no?
It works, I would say, on probably over 80% of the people that come into the office. There are those people that are what we call blocked in their autonomic regulation. And those people have some of the more traditional methods help to get them to the point where it's easier to use autonomic response testing with them. It's kind of like if you brought a computer in for servicing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's so much damage or whatever, or dysfunction that you basically have to take everything apart and rebuild. And with some people, you have to do major cleanup just to get the point where you can make sense of their computer function.
Right. I am Eva Marienchild with Dr. Tim Brown. And after the break, we will talk more about ART testing and the biggest concerns people have about this type of assessment and treatment. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
More natural therapies with Dr. Tim Brown after these short messages.
Hillcrest Bakery and Deli presents Old Time Radio on the specialty channel on localwebradio.fm. Hillcrest Bakery and Deli, serving the Semiahmoo Peninsula for over 40 years with custom cakes, deli platters, and a wide selection of fresh baked breads. Hillcrest Bakery and Deli on the corner of Thrift and Johnston, where everything is lovingly made from scratch. Call Hillcrest Bakery and Deli today at 604-531-1750. That's 604-531-1750. And visit them online at hillcrestbakeryanddeli.ca.
If you're struggling with a dental or oral health issue, be sure to catch the Healthy Smiles Oral Health Show with Dr. Norm Eckerd on the Health Channel on localwebradio.fm.
Shopping for the lowest mortgage rate? Looking to refinance?
Catch the Mortgage Newscast with Jared Dreyer
on the Business Channel
on localwebradio.fm.
It's time now for more Natural Therapies with Dr. Tim Brown.
All right, we're back with Dr. Tim Brown. Dr. Brown, what are the biggest reservations, if any, or concerns that patients express to you before coming in for this type of assessment and treatment?
Well, in my experience, the biggest thing is sort of a skepticism about it and how it works. And if they've never been exposed to it, it's it almost seems like a magical act. And, you know, first issue for most people when they come in is the assessment can be so rapid and profound that they can't believe that we've picked their functioning apart. And we've discovered quite a few things about them in about 5 or 10 minutes of assessment. And it's so rapid that they're sort of dumbfounded because their doctor might take, you know, a lot of tests and a lot of time and going back and forth before they can kind of come up with a course of treatment. And so that's the first thing is sort of this, you know, I can't believe what just happened. Now, sometimes that works in the positive. People are just ecstatic about it. And other times they there's kind of into not a denial, but it's almost an away from because it doesn't fit, again, their virtual reality. So we have to explain it to them in a way that kind of makes sense and show them over and over again that it's reproducible. So the second most common reason people are concerned is that they're scared or skeptical, either due to bad experience. Sometimes other people have done testing on them, but they've turned it into kind of parlor tricks and things, you know, like putting sugar in their hand and everybody weakens on sugar. Well, the fact is not everybody weakens on sugar. The people that weaken on it have a problem with hypoglycemia at times and sugar pathways and insulin and things. But there's other people who are quite stable and it doesn't have much effect on them. Mm-hmm. So they also can get a negative talk from others about the process. They can have a simple fear of unknown or different things. And it often comes from superstitions, or I've had people with fundamentalist religious beliefs that cause them to link the process to anything from witchcraft, mm-hmm. black magic, or any number of foreign kind of things that they have trouble comprehending.
Right.
So I find this is usually because they've never experienced anything like this before, or the physiological and neural principles haven't been explained to them.
Right.
So they have to be able to fit it into that virtual reality that I talked about. So, mm-hmm. You know, the methods that I use and advocate use in the clinic are grounded on the science of neurology, neurophysiology, and I can tell you most doctors and most patients have no idea of this correlation. Mm-hmm. And so I usually try to talk to the patient in terms of, you know, we take for granted things like our cell phones, the internet, and our digital technologies that we're using every day. Mm-hmm. And we don't realize how this is an outer manifestation of much of the same workings and goings on that are happening inside your own body.
Hmm. Very interesting. Okay, let's get practical. Give us a bit more insight into aspects of ART testing and your individualized integrated medicine. So people who are considering it should know this before they come in, and they might feel a little more comfortable from the get-go.
Right. So the first thing is... The most important thing is we have to be a little bit like a Sherlock Holmes in that we have to take the case. You have to listen to what the person is telling you, what their concerns are, and get a really good history. You're looking for clues as to what might be causing the problem. Is it coming from pain generators? Is it a toxicity? Has there been some trauma or abuse? Some long-term deficiency pattern from poor diet or stress from relationship problems and things. So we need to do that. And then we like to get their lab tests or imaging or things like that to help us correlate, get a what we would consider a medical diagnosis of what might be happening. And then we want to do the dynamic assessment using ART or autonomic response test so that we can get feedback as to what the system's underlying processes are and what the body is telling us that might further shed light on the other tests that were done, or sometimes it tells us to go in a whole different direction, that something's really being missed here. And the practitioner's skill has to be based on science-based training, a good amount of practical experience, and a good understanding of the balance between both the science and the art of healthcare, so that we have at our disposal when we're testing somebody, we have a good understanding of the nutrient pathways and how to test those. We have a good understanding of hormones and toxicities. We have a good understanding of how to both assess and fix structural problems, meaning damage to ligaments, to joints, to nerve pathways, and all of these types of things. So it's a difficult area to learn. It takes a dedication, and it takes a significant more time and focus than it is to, for instance, just you know, develop, for instance, IV protocols where people are given nutrients through intravenous protocols in order to try to flood their system with nutrients. What I find is that this takes much more time and diligence to kind of search out and decide, you know, when is it significant to put people on a protocol.
Sure.
And for how long?
Sure. It's less haphazard. My goodness. Yes.
Well, most medicine nowadays, and especially, you know, we find this, you know, we're following kind of the American things where the protocols for insurance type medicine are set. And if you have a diagnosis, there's a set treatment.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not a dynamic treatment.
Right.
And it does not, it's certainly not individualized. It doesn't tailor itself to the things that an individual needs. So it's kind of like the idea of making a one-size car.
Yeah.
That's suitable for all people. Mm-hmm. And doesn't have, you know, what we know is people like the options and the variations of things to individualize everything in their life.
Right.
And your healthcare is one area that is very important that it also be individualized to fit and be tailored to the types of needs that each individual has.
So you're a practitioner who does a lot of sharing, right? You develop these methods because you've seen the benefits and you inform, you keep your patients well informed.
Over the years, that's sort of been the hallmark. I've gone off and at one time I've been described as a condemned seeker, someone who's never quite satisfied with the status quo and is always searching.
Yeah.
And when I go and find something that's useful, I bring it back. I put it into my practice. I share it with my patients. Then I end up sharing it with the other doctors that are interested.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I haven't taught directly in the school system as much because I'm usually busy treating patients clinically, but what I've done is brought young doctors out of practice or colleagues who want to learn these things to spend some time to understand it and see if they can develop a good set of skills.
Keep doing that. Okay, Dr. Brown, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to wrap up with? What would you like to share?
Well, this is kind of the final session in our series of 12. And in some ways, I could have put this in near the beginning. But autonomic response testing is one of the things that I feel very important that we don't lose it in the future, that it will continue to be important. I know that patients who've had this type of testing and thing done on them and done properly are very reluctant to go back into the sort of regular cookie cutter type of care. And, you know, this includes the high level athlete, the, you know, the average weekend athletes, the typical people in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm committed to seeing that this is a strength, and it's not a it's often looked at as a weakness or something that they're trying to erase from naturopathic medicine or chiropractic training or a lot of the alternatives and trying to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to be, you know, just like the big boys or the established system, and I think that's wrong. I think that what happens is eventually this dynamic feedback is going to be more and more needed, And it is the way of the future, although in the future it will be tied to more of these computerized systems and things like that, which will validate the use. However, the new technologies, and when you start adding these things, and like I have a highly sophisticated ultrasound system that we can view the nerves and the functioning in real time of the joints when you move them. Oh. But it gets expensive.
Right.
You know, that equipment costs $40,000 to $50,000. And then with training to use it, we're looking at probably another $40,000 by the time it's all said and done. And that gets passed on to the consumer. So even though there's more certainty, there's also a higher cost. And a lot of the things that I do, I try to make it practical, cost-effective for the average person so that we don't end up just treating the rich people and the, you know, the well-to-do.
Absolutely, everybody. So thank you, Dr. Brown, for this informative look into how these treatments can really help individuals. Absolutely. I look forward to speaking with you again in an upcoming podcast whenever you decide you're ready, whenever you guys get settled. And if you, the audience, can think of someone who might benefit from what we've talked about today, please go ahead and share this podcast with them. I'm sure they will thank you for it. And you can reach Dr. Timothy Brown by telephone at 604-538-3017 or visit him and his staff online at www.oceanparkhealth.com. And I'm sure he'd be delighted to speak with you. Dr. Brown, thanks so much, and you take care of yourself.
Yeah, thank you all. Take care as well.
You've been listening to The Natural Therapy Show with Dr. Tim Brown, architect and creator of Ocean Park Natural Therapies. If you feel that you are a few steps farther down the health ladder than you should be, the naturopathic doctors at Ocean Park Natural Therapies want you to know that you can be helped. For more information and to book your appointment, call 604-538-3017. That's 604-538-3017. And visit them online at www.oceanparkhealth.com.
On your computer, on your smartphone, on your Wi-Fi radio. We're localwebradio.fm.
This episode is a production of Jam Media. For information on hosting your own web radio show, visit jammedia.com. That's www.jambmedia.com.
The opinions expressed by our guest and host on localwebradio.fm do not necessarily reflect the views of Jam Media or its owners. No expressed or implied opinions of any product or service should be considered an endorsement or recommendation of any kind by Jam Media or its owners.